Okay, today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Yud Aleph. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Avishai and Elisha ben Numan, Mizchus Rufus Shleima for Chaim Naftali ben Frimit Freida, as well as for Sarah Freida Bas Chaya. They should both have for Shleima Besoch Shar Chulei Yisrael. So we are holding on daf Yud Amud Beis, about 15 lines before the end of the page. We're about to tell the story of Ketiar Bar Shalom and how he was Zochel Chayim Abay. After we went through all the stories of Antoninus and Rebbe and their interactions, so we're also going to mention the story of Ketiar Bar Shalom. Then the Gemara is going to tell the story of Unculus Hager and how he was Megayer, everyone who tried to bring him back and tried to punish him. And then the Gemara is going to tell us that Antoninus and Rebbe, that relationship was already hinted to in the pregnancy of Rivka Imenu, that we already find a remez to it in the Torah. Then the Gemara is going to get back into the halachos that we had in the Mishnah. We had a halacha in the Mishnah that about which days, which Yom HaMisa of a Melech is of concern. Is it only when they are sarf in Al HaMelachim, or even when there's no Srefa? So we're going to discuss that notion of Srefa Al HaMelachim, of burning things when a king dies. What exactly are the limitations? Is that something that's Chukas HaGayim, or we're allowed to do? Are we encouraged to do it? And if we are encouraged to do it or allowed to do it, what are we not allowed to burn? How much are we supposed to burn? Then the Gemara is going to define the Yom Baloris, which is another one of their individual holidays. And then the Gemara is going to tell us other holidays, another Roman holiday that's not mentioned in the Mishnah first, that relates to the relationship of Esav and Yaakov, and then many other holidays that aren't Roman holidays, because every holiday we've been discussing has been a Roman holiday. So what are the other major religious holidays of other religions, of other nations? And what are the major batei avodah zarah? And then at the very end, right before the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to tell us that there are some different rules as far as how to treat the Yom Ayid and the period around the Yom Ayid in Golus than there are in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnayos were written for dealing with Ovdei Chav in Eretz Yisrael, but in Golus the rules are a little bit different. We'll try to discuss why Be'ezras Hashem. So let's begin with the story of Ketiar Bar Shalom. First words on the line are Ketiar Bar Shalom. So Ketiar Bar Shalom Maihi. We made a reference to the idea that Ketiar Bar Shalom is Nisi'eh Kol Nisi'eh V'lo Kol Sareh. We said that all the Nisi'im are not going to go to Chayel Maba, but not all of the Sarim. There are certain Sarim, Roman Sarim, that are going to go to Olam Maba. And we said, who is that? That's Ketiar Bar Shalom. Well, what's the story of Ketiar Bar Shalom? There was a Kesar that hated the Jewish people. So he said to his royal cabinet, Misha Alulo Nima Baraglo Yikta'en of Yichya Oyani. If someone has some sort of wound on his foot, should he cut it off and be happy and live and everything will be good? Or should he leave it there and experience great tsar? And by this wound, he's referring to the Jewish people. Should I cut them off, get rid of them, and be happy? Or should I leave them as they are and experience great tsar? Amrulo, so they all said, what do you mean? Of course, you cut them off and you live. But it was only Ketiar Bar Shalom that spoke some sense. Amrulo Ketiar Bar Shalom. First of all, you're never going to be entirely successful. My karma, what does it mean when it says that I spread you around like the four directions of the Shemayim? So if it's that the Jewish people are scattered in all directions of the earth, instead of saying Ke'ar Baruchos, it should have said Le'ar Baruchos, that we're scattered to all four directions. Ella, no, what it means is Kishem Sheefsha Laolam below Ruchos, Kachiefsha Liolam below Yisrael. Just like the world does not exist without Ruchos, the world does not exist without the Jewish people. So you're going to have Jewish people always, you're never going to be successful in completely wiping them out. Vod Karlach Malchusa Ketiah. And not only that, they're going to call you a Malchusa Ketiah. They're going to call you a king that cut off an entire nation. And you don't want to be known as a genocidal maniac. So that's what you're going to go down as in history if you try to commit genocide. So it's going to be an unsuccessful attempt, and it's you're just going to have such a reputation. Amalei Memer Shaper Karmit. So he says, okay, good gezakt. He's saying, well, miu called the zakhil malchus shadulei lekumina chalila. But the rule is that if you say something that I don't like, you have to get thrown into a house full of sand and I guess suffocate to death over there. So that's your sentence. Ki avanaktin leva azlin, when he was being carried out to this house of sand, Amalei Ahuma Trunisa. So a certain noble woman said to him, Vaylei Li'ilfa Da'azla B'lo Michsa. That woe unto the boat that goes without paying the taxes, without paying the tolls on the way. Meaning here you're going to this place, as Rashi explains, Klomar Oila Chol Va'alei Natanerach. You're getting killed for the Jewish people. Shalom Malta Asatzmcha. Woe unto you. You never even got yourself a meal of Vititel Chelek Imayim. So at least you could be one of them. You're dying on their account. So why don't you at least act like you're one of them? You should at least get a mila. Nafal al resha durlate kata. So right away he cut off the top of his arla. He got himself, he mauled himself. Amr Yahavis Michsi says, there, I've paid my toll. Chalfis va'avris, so the woman now left. Kika shadulei Amr kondach sayil Rabbi Akiva v'chaverev. And when they were throwing him into this place, he said, all of my nechasim shkot to Rabbi Akiva v'chaverev. But he never explained what proportion to Rabbi Akiva and what to the other chachamim. So yatz Rabbi Akiva v'darash, Rabbi Akiva says, well, it's a pasuk. V'hayo la'aron ulevanav. Pasuk says, it goes la'aron ulevanav. V'lechma panim goes la'aron ulevanav. Mechtzali it's not split evenly amongst all of the Kohanim. No, half goes to Aaron and half to everybody else. Whenever you say an individual and then a group, so the individual gets half and the group gets half. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva says, I get half and now all the other Chacham gets a split half. Yatza Baskel v'yamra Katir Barshalom Mezum L'Chayel Maba. A Baskel came out and said that Katir Barshalom is Mezum to Chayel Maba, that he's destined to Olam Maba. Bacha Rebbe v'amar Yesh Kona Olama B'Shalom. That sometimes a person, Rabbi cried out and he said, sometimes a person could be kona olam haba in Shah Achas, and sometimes it takes kama shanim. A few points over here. First of all, the idea that we're spread, ka'ar baruchas hashemayim, the Achronim explained that the pshat of the pasuk is kipshuto, that we are spread le'ar baruchas hashemayim. So for that reason alone, it sounds like you can't wipe out Klal Yisrael, because if we were mesof olam vatsof, we're all over the place, that alone is a good enough explanation. But Ketir Bashalom wanted to give a reason, why is it that Hashem does this to Klal Yisrael? So he compares us to the ruchas to say that because of our great maila, that the world needs us in order to survive, so we're like the ruchos, and if you would destroy us, the world would be destroyed. That's why Hashem put us in the four corners of the earth, where no one will have the ability to destroy us, because there's always going to be some remnant of the Jewish people somewhere else to begin anew. Now, why is it that we're dafka compared to the ruchos Hashemayim? So the Maharal explains that the Dalet Ruchos means the entire world, because we assume the world has four sides. So Yisrael is compared to the Dalet Ruchos because they are Ikaro Shalom, that the world can't exist without them. So that's just, Dalet Ruchos is just a way of saying Kola Olam Kula, that the entire world. The Marsha suggests that Ruchos that blow are Kiyama Olam, like Rashi says in Maseches Tainus and Daf Gimel, that without the Ruchos, Lo Yiskayim Olam, because the Hevel, the Chamimus, the heat, the smog, whatever it is, the is going to be overwhelming, and the world wouldn't be able to exist without the ruchos. Now the Gemara went on to say that he's going to that the noble woman said that you're going without paying the toll, and therefore he gave himself a bris milah. So the Achronim explained what's the connection between the toll and a bris milah. So the Achronim point out that a person is not able to enter into Gan Eden without a bris milah. In Maseches Erev and Daf Yates says that Avraham Avinu was Shomer al Pesach Gehenim, and he's Edom Aniach Likanis Mishamahul. Anyone who has a Mila isn't allowed into Gehenim, meaning that's your ticket into Gan Eden to have a Mila. That's why there's such a minhag that we do, that if you have a Nebuch, a stillborn baby, they give the baby a Bris Mila before they bury the baby, because that's the ticket to Olam Abba. So the Urayim just points out, it sounds from the Gemara that the Mila that Ketia Bar Shalom did was a good Mila. So frankly, Urayim, Ketia only did a Mila, he didn't do a Priya. So how did it work? The Mishnah says in Shabbos, Mal v'lo para, ki ilu lo mal, that if a person does Mila without Priya, it doesn't work. So he suggests that since he was a Gadol, since he was already an adult, he didn't require Priya. That Mila's Avram Avinu, it only says Besar al-Aso, because he only needed a Chituch Basar, he didn't require an additional Priya as well. Tosos Mesachus Yevamos writes that even though Priya was not given to Avraham Avinu, but he was Mekayim Mitzvos Priya, because he was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, that even Avraham Avinu did Priya, and that we do Priya even on a Gadol. So you have to say something else as far as Katia was concerned. Also, the Acharon point out, how does his Mila work? The halacha is that Mila's Goy doesn't work. A Mila's Nachri is possible. We're going to see later on in the Gemara, Goy is not kosher to do a Bris Mila. An Isha, yes, because we learn from Tzipora, so that's a Bishas Adchak. Maybe an Isha, but a Goy is not able to do Mila. So how does this work as a Mila, L'shem Geirus? So some of the Acharonim suggest, Paras Yosef and others suggest, that this is a Ba'in Ke'echad. Since he's becoming a Jew through this Mila, we say that Milaso V'Geiruso are Ba'in Ke'echad, that at the moment that he does it, he's becoming a Jew. So it's Ki'ilu that a Jew did the Mila. This is similar to what Tosfos writes in Ksubas Daf Yud Aleph, that we're Matbil L'Gerit Katan Al Das Beis Din, because it's a Zechus for him. Zechia works mitam Shlichus. A guy doesn't have Shlichus. How could we be Zachin La'adam, be Zochah for the Katan, the Zechus of making him a ger, if that only works midin shlichus, and as a guy he doesn't have shlichus? So that one of the answers that Tosfos is that, yeah, but it's ban keachad, he's becoming a Jew at this moment, and therefore he gets the right to have shlichus at the very moment that this is happening. So it happens simultaneously. Also, we say that he's mezum l'chayil mabad, and Gemara Tosfos Masech Ksubas Daf Kuf Gimel, right? So whenever it says mezum l'chayil mabad, it means without any din, without any yisurin, meaning kol yisrael yesh. So if he actually did a gerus, which also you have to figure out how he did a gerus, meaning Kabbalah mitzvahs, maybe tevila, where was tevila, and the tevila has come after the mila. So how exactly did that happen? Okay, maybe there was no gerus, maybe there was, but mezum l'chayil mabah Tosfos says means no din, no yisurim, that it's immediate, that it's an automatic mezum l'chayil mabah. And then a final issue over here is that Rebbe cries out and he says yesh kana olamo b'shah achas and yesh kana olamo b'kama shanim. So the Marsha explains that kona olamo, meaning is kona the olam haba that's ra'ui lo based on what he did for that sha'a achas, and that's why Rebbe was crying, because if he would not have gotten killed, can you imagine the kind of olam that he would have been kona if he had more time? Meaning is kona a small chelek, an olam haba, a tiny chelek, because it was only sha'a achas. But if only he would have been able to live, he could have been kona olam b'shos harbe, which would have been much, much greater. Divrei David is not so pleased with that explanation. Sounds like Rebbe is equating them, that you can get the same olam b'sha'a achas that you can get b'sha'os harbe. Not that Nebuch, the one who's kona olam b'sha'a achas, gets such a tiny chelek in the olam. So says Divrei David, no, the real message is that what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, avizar b'mitzvah kala kibachamura she'enat yodeh matan tzchorin shel mitzvos. You never know what your one mitzvah is going to be. You never know what your one zechus is going to be, where you're going to be able to be kona olamo. There are people that work years and years in order to be able to achieve a certain level, and if you hit on one mitzvah that happens to have great schar, it could be kona olamo b'sha'a achas. So that was the reference to being kona olamo. Okay, says the Gemara weiter now. Antoninus Shamshe the Rebbe, Adarkan Shamshe the Rav. Antoninus was Mishamish Rebbe, Adarkan was Mishamish Rav. Kishach of Antoninus, when Antoninus died, Amar Rebbe, Nisparda Chavila. Rebbe says that the rope has come undone. Kishach of Adarkan, Amar Rav, Nisparda Chavila. And Rav had a similar comment when Adarkan died. In the Sefer Avodas Avodah, he explains this based on the Shlach HaKadosh. Shlach HaKadosh says that when you do Haskaras Neshamos, you don't say that the Mesim are Tachas Kanfei Ashkina, you say that they are Al Kanfei Ashkina, because neshamos of Yisrael are lemalam kanfei Ashkina. The nefesh of a ger is tachas kanfei Ashkina, like it says by Rus, asher basalachsos tachas knafav. So since Rabbi and Antoninus were very good friends, they loved each other very much, and they were kshurim b'olam hazeh b'olam haba. Normally, when you have people who love each other very much, they're together in olam haba as well. That's why the pasuk says in Shmuel Beis, hana ahavim v'ni'imim b'chayehem. Uvemosam lo nefradu, that those who are beloved to each other in their life, bemosam lo nefradu, either in death they're not separated from each other. But Antoninus and Rebbe had to part ways in Olam Haba because they were going to different places, Al Kanfei Ashkina and Tachas Kanfei Ashkina, both wonderful places to be, but different places. So Nisparda Chavila in that sense. That's how Shlomo Kluger explains in the Avodas Avoda. Says the Gemara now the story of Unculus. Unculus bar Colonimus Igaya. Megayer. Uncle Esprar Kolonimus was Megayer. Shadar Kesar. So the Kesar sent Gunda Duromai Abasrei, a troop of Roman soldiers, Roman officers, after him to get him. Mashchinu Bukrai, he managed to start engaging them in conversations about Psukim, meaning he was familiar enough with what the Psukim really meant. I was just reading in the Rav Belsky biography that one of these missionaries came to his door once and started quoting, the verses in Isaiah that he thought made his point. So Rav Belsky put his hand over the book and said, "What's the pasuk right before it and what's the pasuk right after it?" And the guy said, "I don't know." So Rav Belsky quoted by heart what the pasuk before it and the pasuk after it is. He says, "Study for 5 years, then come back and talk to me and I'll explain it to you." But, to talk to an idiot, I don't need to, to a guy who memorized two psukim, not so interested. So, but these people were very well versed in psukim, so there was what to talk about, and he was able to be megayer them, he was able to show them. So he sent another legion of Roman officers. And this time he gave them instructions, don't talk to him, he's going to outwit you. If you talk to him, don't do it. So when they were going, he said, let me just stop. We'll make small talk. We're not going to talk deep. We're not going to talk Torah. We're not going to talk Bible. So he says, Nifiura nakat nura kami pipiura. The lower level officers hold the torch for the higher level officers. Pipiura leduchsa, the higher level officers for those higher than them, and duchsa legmona for those higher than them, and hegmona lekoma, those guys for those higher than them for the king. Koma min nakat. But does a king hold the torch to light up the path for other people? So Amri Le Lo, they said, no, that wouldn't be Derech Eretz for a king to do something like that. So Amri Lehu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nakat Nura Kamei Yisrael. Yeah, but Hashem holds the torch for the Jewish people. D'chsiv Hashem Holich Lefneim Yomam. Igayer Kulhu. That was it. That convinced them that this is a loving God, a God who wants to help his people, a God who wants to encourage his people. That's all they needed. Hadar Shadur Gunda Achrina Basrei. They said, another troop after him. The Kesar sent another group of people. Amalu lotishto midibade. So this time he said, don't discuss anything. Not just don't discuss Tanakh. Don't discuss anything. When they're taking Unklus out, he saw the mezuzah that was on the doorway. Osiv yadei Allah. He put his hand on the mezuzah. So va'amaluhu mayhai. So he said to them, what is this? So amalei emalanat. They said, we don't know what this is that you're doing. Why don't you tell us what you're doing? There's an alternate gears over here that he didn't say anything to them, but achich, he just smiled. And then they said to him, why are you smiling? And he says, well, let me explain to you what just happened over here. In any event, the Achronim are bothered. They didn't follow the instructions. The instructions were that they weren't supposed to talk. What, because he put his hand on the mezuzah, all of a sudden the instructions don't apply anymore? They're allowed to, why would they think that? Why would they think that they're allowed to talk? So they say, if you hold like the other gears, so some of the Achronim suggest that he smiled, so they thought that he was smiling because they had already somehow violated their instructions. So they were so perturbed by that, like, what did we do? What do you mean? Why did we violate? They couldn't hold themselves back. But only because they thought they had already violated it. Okay, so Amalu Minhag Shalom, so he started explaining the idea of the mezuzah. So he said, the Minhag Shalom, the Melech Bas V'dam Yoshev Mibifnim, V'avadim Misham Rosu Mibichutz. You have a Melech on the inside, and the Avadim protect the Melech from the outside. V'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avadim Mibifnim, V'hu Misham Rosu Mibichutz. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't work that way. He's on the inside, we're on the inside, and he's protecting us on the outside. The powerful king is protecting the little people who dwell on the inside. From here you see that mezuzah on some level is supposed to represent protection. That mezuzah is not just a mitzvah, but it's something that has with it some level of protection. So that's a question. Is that true? Meaning, is the mezuzah independently considered something that protects people? There are people that hang a mezuzah in the the rear view mirror of their cars to give their car protection, taxi drivers or something like that. Rav Azar was asked, Shaila, what if you have an otzar that doesn't have any tzuras ha-pesach, but you want to protect the things that are inside? Are you allowed to use a mezuzah? Put a mezuzah up, because the mezuzah is going to afford protection. So the pashtus is not that way. They're not allowed to do that. The Rambam in the fifth parak of Hilchos the mezuzah talks at length about those people who put, write shemos kedoshim or other things inside the mezuzahs because they're gonna afford extra protection. And he says such people are in them chelik l'olam haba. And he says elu atipshim, these morons that do things like this, that view mezuzah as only a protection, as like a charm. He says lo dai lehem shebitlu a mitzvah el sha'asu mitzvah gedola sheyichud Hashem shal kadosh baruch hu va'avaso va'avadaso kilu kameya shel anas atzmam. Not only are they being mevatel mitzvah, they're taking this great mitzvah that's supposed to represent yichud Hashem in service of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and they're making it like something that, you know, that they could skula for themselves to enjoy the benefits of. It's not the way a relationship with Hakadosh Baruch Hu works. You know, people view the relationship with Hakadosh Baruch Hu like their relationship with Amazon. You know, you put in your order and you hope for good service that it's going to come. You know, exactly what you ordered is going to come. That's not the way it's supposed to work. You don't put in your order. You connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're oved the Ribbono Shel Olam. Kesef Mishnah quotes that the Ramach asks on the Rambam. Yeah, but it says Uncle Sager says that Kodesh Baruch Hu, it protects us. How can you deny the protective qualities of the mezuzah? So Kesef Mishnah and in Beis Yosef also writes that it does have the skula sashmira, but that's only through the kiyum mitzvah. Meaning the shmira doesn't happen without the kiyum mitzvah. I remember when we were learning this mezuzah with Rav Shechter, there are a lot of marmakomos that suggest that yes, once you're mekayim mitzvah, there is shmira, meaning more than other mitzvahs. Rav Shechter just couldn't hear it. He said shmira because every mitzvah is shomer you. It's the zchus of any mitzvah. So yeah, so the zchus of the mitzvah protects you because every mitzvah protects you on some level or another. Like he did not like this idea at all that the mezuzah has some sort of special powers of shmira. But there are many marmakomos that seem to suggest that. So it has to be l'shem mitzvah first and foremost. When it's done l'shem mitzvah, then, and you do the mitzvah properly, then there's what to discuss whether there's also an issue of shmira. So shnemar Hashem yishmar tseischa v'echa me'atavi adolam igayir sulo shad basrei. So they're megayir, and that was it. No, they didn't send anyone else. The other issue that comes out from here is that Uncle Sager put his hand on the mezuzah. In Darkei Moshe, the Rama writes in the name of the Ma'aril that someone who wants to go chutz le'ir, when he leaves, he should put his hand on the mezuzah and he should say certain psukim. Hashem Yishmar Seisi Uvoi, Hashem Shomri, Hashem Tzili, right? He should say certain psukim. And the Ramah paskins this in Shulchan Aruch, that when a person leaves his house, he should put his hand on the mezuzah, Hashem Yishmar Seisi, and say Hashem Yishmar Seisi. I mean, you recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there to protect him. So the Darkei Moshe writes that the makar of that din is what Maril didn't make it up out of thin air. It's this sugya of Uncle Sager. That's the makar. Now, Rabbi Kivegri has a startling truth in Madura Kama, Simon Nun Ches, Rabbi Kivegu says this idea of putting your hand on the mezuzah doesn't have a makar in Shas. It's a Ramah from Maril, doesn't have any makar in Shas. And therefore, if there's ever any shaila in terms of any kula that you're going to be taking by putting your hand on the mezuzah, for example, the mezuzah doesn't have a cover and you're touching Kisvei HaKodesh without a netilas yadayim in advance, you're not allowed to touch Kisvei HaKodesh directly. A lot of people don't realize on Purim, you know, they open the Megillah, you have to do netilas yadayim before you touch your Megillah. So you're not allowed to touch Kisvei HaKodesh. Or the shame shakai that's written on the outside of the mezuzah, and you're touching it, and you might erase it by too much touching of that shame. This is if you don't have a mezuzah cover. That's why we have mezuzah covers to solve this problem. But Rabbi Kivegas says, don't touch the mezuzah then, because the touching the mezuzah is tama minag rama quotes of Maril, but has no basis in Shas. So the Acharon point out, it's strange. Rabbi Kivegas says such a thing. No basis in Shas. It's befeirish over here. This is a pretty famous story also. I mean, Rabbi Kivegas knew everything, like we know this story, but still, how does he say no basis in Shas? So you have to suggest is, Uncle Sager, it sounds from the story that he only touched the mezuzah because of the company that he was in. He was trying to come up with a way to start a conversation with these people. So that was the way he was able to start the conversation, but it doesn't sound like something that he did all the time. It wasn't something that he would have done in any other context. What about the kissing of the mezuzah? Where does that come from? So Pashas says that comes from those who are knowing to kiss everything. There is Sfardi Poskim that mentioned Minhagim to kiss the matzah and to kiss the lulav. It's a way of showing chib of mitzvah. So they kiss all their mitzvahs. So one of the things that they kiss is a mezuzah as well. But the actual Shulchan Aruch, where it says in Rambam, is to touch the mezuzah because, and the Rambam writes, not even tell you, the Rambam says when you walk through the mezuzah, you look at the mezuzah and you remind yourself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting me. But it should at least be there. It should be present in a person's mind that there is a mezuzah there and that it represents something important. Okay, Vayomer Hashem l'shnei goyim b'vitnech. So Rivka Yimenu was told that she's carrying two nations. Amrav Yidom Rav, Al Tikri Goyim El Geyim, not just two nations, but two proud ones, two people of stature. So Ze Antoninus Rebbe, Shlo Poskum El Shulchanam, Lo Chazeres, Lo Kishos, Lo Tznon, Lo Bimas Hacham, Lo Bimas Hagshamim. This is a reference to Antoninus and Rebbe, who through all the years always had enough lettuce and cucumbers and radishes. They had plenty of food to eat in the summertime, the wintertime. Domer Mar, Tznon, Mechate Chochel, and the Gemara explained the value of these vegetables, that Tznon is able to help chop up the food inside of you. Chazeres Mehapich Machel, Chazeres helps to digest the food, and Kishus Marchiv Me'ayim, and Kishus will broaden the stomach to allow for the food to go in. V'atana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Lama Nikra Shman Kishuin, but wait, didn't Debei Rabbi Shmuel teach us that why is it called Kishuin? Mipnei Shekashon L'Gufa Shaladim Kecharevos, that it's bad for a person, it's like eating swords. So says Marlo Kasha, Habaravri Habazutri, if you eat big ones, then it's bad for you. If you eat small ones, that's going to be something that's good for you. So in the Sefer Maris Ayin, he says, you know, Rivka Yemenu asked a question. She's saying, Lamaza Anochi, right? So how does this answer her question? She's very perturbed about something. He says, oh, don't worry. Gedolei Olam are going to come from you. They're Antoninus and Rebbe. But all the Tzaddikim are going to come from her. Why does the Dafka pick these people, Antoninus and Rebbe? So he says, no, what her worry was, that Esav HaRasha is going to emerge from her, and therefore she says that she doesn't understand why there's going to be an Esav. So that's what she's told. Don't worry, Esav is going to produce an Antoninus. Antoninus is the Tov of Esav. Rebbe is the Nitzotz of Yaakov Avinu, but Antoninus is the Tov of Esav. Others say, no, what does every parent want from their children? Every parent wants their children to get along. That's what we mentioned yesterday. I think we mentioned yesterday that Tiferes Yisrael in his Tzava said that all he wants, that his children should send each other birthday, not all he wants, one of the things he wants, that his children should send each other birthday cards. That every, you know, that they should send each other a note of Brach Vatzlach on their birthday. They should maintain a positive relationship. They were Misrots to Bekir, but they were fighting. They were at each other's throats. She felt that there was a lack of Shalom. Shnei Geyim Bevitnech. There's going to be a Rebbe and Antoninus. They're going to be best of friends. That ultimately, in the long run, they're going to find a way to get along, at least at some point in history. The Tosus over here raises a question. Shalom Paskum Mishulchanim Tznon. Tosus says, first of all, Ein Zer Rabusa El Shei Marmus the Shulchanim Shei Tzricha Lechatech Labich Machal Arachim Neimayim. He says, not like radishes are like this super expensive food. You know, that was always like a poor man's, but it wasn't like. So he says, no, it just means that they needed to be able to digest a lot of food because they had so much other food. So it's the qualities of this food is that it aids in digestion. But in the previous Tosus, at the end of the first Tosus on the page, he raises the question that in the end of Ksubis, Rebbe says, you know, I was never nenem in olam hazeh, filu be'etzba katana. So how could he say that if he has all this delicious food? So Tosus says, mikol makom ochlei shulchanu hayu rabim. All of his guests were nenem in olam hazeh. He didn't eat that much, but he provided food for a lot of people. So he personally wasn't nenem in olam hazeh, but all the people who relied on him were nenem in olam hazeh. Shita Mugvetz says that the kasha of Tosus is only kasha if you learn the pshat in that gemara like Tosus does, that Rebbe didn't enjoy even me'etzba katana of this world. So you could ask, what do you mean? But what about all these sudos? But if you look at Rashi says that Rebbe says I was amal v'yaga be'esra etzba osav b'torah. I used all 10 of my fingers, meaning all my kochos in Torah, and I was never nenem in olam hazeh filu be'etzba katana, meaning I never was toreach b'inyanei olam hazeh afilu be'etzba katana. All my tircho, all my amelus, all my yegio, all my hard work was in ruchniyistika realm, and the fact that I was zocha l'shnei shulchanos, that wasn't because that was a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That wasn't anything of my own amel v'yegia. That's all I mean. Then you don't have a kasha from say he enjoyed olam hazeh. Yeah, but he wasn't amel v'yaga in olam hazeh. The Gra in the Bir Agra in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Lamed Aleph is Mefarish based on what the Shulchan Aruch says of that a person Bechol Masav should be L'shem Shemayim and not La'anaz Gufo Bechol Drachecha Da'ehu, meaning that's what Rebbe was saying, that not that I was Nenem in Olam Hazeh, of course he was Nenem in Olam Hazeh, but it was never for an Olam Hazeh purpose, meaning everything he did, all of his work and all of his efforts, even in the realm of Gashmius, were for a goal of Ruchnius. It was all to achieve a goal of Ruchnius, and that's what it means. He was not Nenem in Olam Hazeh. Okay, Yom Aleda V'Yom Hamisa. Oh, by the way, one more thing. We mentioned Chazeres as being Mahapech Hamachal. The Chazeres helps with the rest of the meal. It helps digest the rest of the meal. So the Ginas V'Radim, Chuvas Ginas V'Radim, brings the sheet of the Rashbam. The Rashbam writes, why is it that we don't make a bracha on Maror on the night of the Seder? Why don't we say Bar Pri Adama on the lettuce, right, the Maror? So he says, because you're already Yotze with the bracha on Karpas. Right, so that's what we normally assume, that we have in mind the bracha and karpas that it should cover the maros. He says, why do you need that? L'chor, if it's mahapech hamachal, it's mitzar chayasuda. So when you make a hamotzi, it includes everything that's bom machmas asuda, all those things that are part of the suda. So he says, yeah, enochinami. That's why we typically don't make a bracha. Meaning, it's a very strong kasha. If it's only because we made a bracha and karpas, why don't we make a bracha on salad? Right, we have a salad dish, and we have a salad course in your meal. Who says a bracha on the salad? So are we all doing something wrong, not making a bracha on the salad? So he says, no, the salad is part of the meal, like our Gemara says. It's ba machmas suda. It's just a little bit of lettuce, a kazayis of lettuce that you eat, mitam marar, that's clearly not being ba machmas suda. You're not having it as a salad, so mele wouldn't be covered. It all depends on your kavana in having it, which is a chiddush in its own right, that it depends on your kavana. Some foods depend on your kavana, some foods don't. You have a kugel, it doesn't depend on your kavana. It's part of the meal, whether you have a kavana or not. Okay, Yom Aleda v'Yom Amisa. So the Yom Aleda and the Yom Amisa are also a Yom Ayit. So it says Gemara, Mechad Rameh, Sam Elosh Amisa Sheish Basrefa, Elosh Amisa Sheim Basrefa, Palki Balavod Zchavim. The Chachamim said in the Mishnah, only Amisa Sheish Basrefa is significant enough to be a Yom Ayit, where they're burning things because the king died. So it sounds like Rameh holds, doesn't matter whether they burn things or not, it's a Yom Ayit. Alma Strefa Lav Chukahi. Apparently, Strefa is not a chukah, the burning of something, from the fact that a mayor doesn't think anything is dependent on the Strefa. Apparently, it's not a chokah vodazara to be so rafe, because they would even not be so rafe sometimes. Mechal the Rabbanan Savri Strefa Chukahi. It makes it sound like the Rabbanan hold that it's Strefa something they do, l'shem vodazara, and therefore that's the indicator that it's a real Yom Ayid. Aiva Tanya Sofran al Melachim Lomidarkei Amori. But didn't we learn that you're allowed to be so rafe al Melachim? Jewish people are allowed to be sorry when a Jewish king dies, and it's not considered midarche amori v'chuki ananechi sarfina. But if it's a chukah, how could we be sorry? V'aksiv b'chukosayim lo selechu. We're not allowed to follow the chukos agayim. Ella de kuli alma strefa lav chukahi. Now everyone holds strefa is not a chukah. Ella chashivusahi. It's just a way of showing chashivus for the melech. What Rameir and the Chum are arguing about is the following. Rameir sovereign losha misa sheish basrefa, losha misa shein basrefa, palchi balavod chavim. Whether there is or isn't strefa, they're gonna use that day of the misa samelech as the day of avodazara. Rabbanan savri misa sheish basrefa chashivalu palchiba. You want to know in what esteem they held that king and whether he was worth making a yom avodazara for? Look at whether they're sorei for him. Not that the strefa itself is an indication of avodazara. The strefa is an indication of chashivus. Once you know the chashivus of that melech in their eyes, then you'll know whether it's going to be a yom of a dezar v'shem v'srefa lo chashiva v'lo palchiba. Now the Yisra b'chukaseim lo selechu, the Ran and the Ra'ah write that the Torah doesn't ask for chukas agayim for everything. Not everything the goyim do is aser. It's only that which has avodazar associated with it, or that which is hevel ubatala, which we assume as a srach shel avodazara. But something that is that goyim do that makes a lot of sense, that's absolutely mutter, and that's why you're allowed to be sorry for the malachim. Meaning, it's a reasonable way to show agmas nefesh that we're never going to have another king like this, that we so miss the value of this king, and that's why that which is yesh bo mishum refuah is ein bo mishum darkei amori. Because if something has therapeutic value, there's good reason to do it, and that's what the Rama paskins in Yardaya Simon Kuf Ayin Ches, and then the Rama adds b'shem the Rama Arik that it's also us to do things that are l'shem pritzus, that are not only things that don't have any tam, but also things that are l'shem pritzus are also midarke ha'amori and are a violation of chukos hagayim. Okay, gufa sorfen al malach v'ein b'mishum darkei amori. So we said you're allowed to burn things when a king dies. That's not a violation of darkei amori. Shenamer b'shalom tamusim mitzreifos avasecham lachem u'kshem sorfen sorfen al malachim, kach sorfen al nasiim. Not only when a melech dies, when a nasi dies as well. Umahim sorfen al malachim. What do they burn? You burn everything when a king dies. What do you burn? Mitasan, uklei tashmishan, their bed, things that they used. Umaisa shmesum gamliel azakin v'sarvelav unkelus hager shiva manatsuri. One time when Rabbi Gamliel died, unkelus hager burnt 70 manatsuri. Manatsuri are very expensive money. That's currency. That's the money of the Torah, which is 8 times the value of Kesef of Medina. When we say in a Ksuba that Ksuba's Pesula is Masayim, so it's Manatsuri, it's very expensive money. Whenever Ksuba Salmana is only Mana, so it's very likely Mana Medina. So Va'amrit Mayin Sorfen Alei Mitasun Klei Tashmishan. What do you mean? Why is he allowed to burn money? I thought you're only allowed to burn Mitasun Klei Tashmishan. Se'ema B'Shiva Manatsuri. No, what we mean is not that he actually burnt Manatsuri, but things that were valued at Shiva Manatsuri, but it was all Klei Tashmishan. Are you not allowed to burn things that didn't have practical benefit to the king? What about the fact that we disable his animals to make them no longer able to work, and that's not a violation of Darkei Amori? No, that's talking about a horse that he actually used. It was Klei Tashmishan. It was a horse that he rode on, so we make it not usable for riding. But other kosher animals, when it comes to kosher animals, we don't do this. But didn't we learn that when it comes to disabling an animal in a way that makes it a treifa, you're not allowed to do that, but if it doesn't make it a treifa, you are allowed to do that. Vezu yikroshen b'treifa. And what would be an example where it doesn't make it a treifa? Hamanasher parsoseh minar kuva lamato, where you cut its hooves off below the knee. But don't you see that even though the animal doesn't work for the person, nevertheless, you're still destroying the animal as a sign of avelus on the king? So tigamer papa bagla moshachas b'karon. No, we're talking about an animal that pulls a wagon, meaning this is an animal that does work for the king, and that's what we're going to destroy as a sign of avelus. Then we said yom teglachas beno, the day that he shaves his beard. Say barilu hechi katani. How do we read these days in the Mishnah? Yom teglachas zikano va'anachas baloriso is the day that he's megaleach the zakan and he leaves the baloris, meaning it's the same haircut. He cuts off the sides and he leaves the baloris to grow. Odilma, two separate days. Yom teglachas zikano. And also, many years later, Vavaris Baloriso, or many days later, when he goes and he cuts off the Baloris, L'shem Avodazara. So Tashma, Detanya Travayu. We have a brisa that says both of them. Yom Teglach HaZakanova, Nachas Baloriso. Yom Teglach HaZakanova, Avaris Baloriso. All of that is Yom Ayid. Amar Avidu Mershmal, Oda Cheres Yeshlem Baromi. There's another special Yom Ayid in Rome. Echad Achshim Shanam V'in Adam Shalem. Once every 70 years, they would bring an Adam Shalem. They would bring a person who is unwounded to represent Esav, Umar Kivinosa al Adam Chiger, and they would write him on top of a wounded person, and that is to represent Yaakov, because Yaakov was wounded by the Malach of Esav. Umalbishinosa big day Adam Rishon, they would dress him up in the Bigadim of Adam Rishon, Umanichalo Barosho, Karkiplo Shal Rabbi Yishmael, and they would put on the scalp of Rabbi Yishmael, and they scalped him from the Asar Ruge Malchus, they would dress him up in it. Vitale Bitsavari Matkal Zuza de Pisa, they would hang a very precious gem from his neck. They would line the streets with very precious gem called Inach, and they would announce in front of him a Sach Kiri Plaster. That's what they would say in front of him. What does that mean? Rashi says Cheshbon Akatzitz Kazavu, that the Cheshbon of the end of days that Yaakov Avinu said was all a lie. So we look, Klal Yisrael still in Golus. Achua Demarana Zayafna, the brother of our master Esav is a liar. The chami chami de lo chami lo chami. That anyone who sees this simcha right now sees it. Who doesn't see it right now is not going to see it again because it's not going to be for another 70 years, and that's typically a person's lifespan. Maya hani the ramah beramusei lezayafna bezayaf nusei. And look, the liar doesn't get anything from his dishonesty. Umesaimin bahachi vayledin kad yakum dein. But then they would have to acknowledge at the end, woe unto us when that one rises, because when Yaakov rises, it's going to be the downfall of Esav. Amar Vashi Yechshil and Pilim L'Rashayim. That what they said, they slipped up in their own way of formulating things. Iamru Zayafna Achua Demarana Kedekamri. If they would have said Zayafna Achua Demarana, that the brother of our master is a liar, then it would mean what they're saying. But Hashanami Demarana Zayafna Marana Gufe Zayafnahu. They're saying Marana Zayafna, that their own master is a liar. V'tani Dan Ma'ktaim Eloka Chashavla. Why isn't this on one of the Yom Ayids in our Mishnah? Why isn't this listed? So Lahaydi Isa B'Kol Shasav Shasav Kachashav D'Lasav B'Kol We only list annual celebrations. This is only once every 70 years. So that was all the Roman celebrations. The Parsai Mai, what are the Parsai celebrations? Mutradi Vituriski Muhuranki Umoharin. Okay. Hani de Parsai Udramai. Now we have the Parsai and the Roman celebrations. The Bavlai Mai, what are the Babylonian celebrations? Muharnki van Kise Bechanuni Vaeser Ba'adar. There are five established batei avodah zara. Elu hein, Beis Baal b'Bavel, Beis Nevo b'Korsi, Tarasa shebemefeg, Srifa shebeashkelon, Nashka shebaravia. You know those places, they're always doing avodah zara. Kiyas Rav Dimi hosifu alein, Yerid shebein bechi, Nidbucha shebeacho, he added two more, Ikadamri, Nizbara shebeacho. Rav Dimi minarda masni ibcha, Yerid shebeacho, Nidbucha shebein bechi, that he flipped it around. Amle Rav Chanan bar Rav Chisda the Rav Chisda. My kavun hein. What does it mean that these are batei avodah zara kavun? Amle hachay amar avua diimach. Your grandfather, your maternal grandfather, explained kavun hein li'olam tadira kula shasa palchilu, that they're always there and every day of the year they're always worshiping avodah zara there. Amar Shmuel begola inu asra liyom idam belvad. In galus we don't have to stop doing business 3 days in advance. Just the yomayit itself. Yom idam nami mi asr. Varav yidah sharilei l'rav bronu l'zvuni chamra l'rav gidu l'zvuni chitin bechagata detayai. Even on the Yom Ha'id itself, didn't Rav Yehuda give heterim to do business with them on their Yom Ha'id? Shaili chagasa detayi delo kavia. No, that was not a kavua Yom Ha'id, and that's why they were allowed to do it. But in Galus, typically, the Yom Ha'id is Aser, the 3 days in advance are Mutter. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll begin with the Mishnah.